using him greatly, Father, for the gathering place. And so, Lord, we pray that you would anoint his mind and his mouth to speak your heart this morning. And, Lord, that you would give him clarity of thought, clarity of speech, Lord, as he presents from your word the message that you have for us. And, Holy Spirit, open our ears and our hearts to hear what you have to say for the gathering place this morning through Byron. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. Welcome. Want to share your names and how you got here today or what?
Yeah, so I'm Adam Quinn, my wife, Clarissa. She's my little one, so we're back
now. Okay.
You know Maya, and so we recommend to come here. We come and try it out today.
Okay, and I want you to feel very welcome.
Thank you.
All right, God bless you today,
yeah.
You and your family, okay?
Amen.
Amen. So, hey, you know what? We got chapter 5 and 6 in Joshua. And I want to let you know, it's way more than a Sunday school story with little children. You know, it's more than a jingle, Joshua, you know this song. It's more than that. And by God's grace and his Holy Spirit, we're going to look into the more of the story. Because I love the Word of God. I want to let you know, in passing through the Word of God, you can go it over and over and over again because there's always more. There's always more. And by the Holy Spirit reveals the more to us. And I hope everyone is really blessed this morning for what they're about to hear. Father God, occupy my mind, occupy my words. Father God, it's an honor for me to share with your sheep. Everyone here belongs to you, Father. And I want to be your voice piece, Lord, to encourage your sheep in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, in the first verse in chapter 5, it's kind of something I talked about a couple Sundays ago, but then now, when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River, the Jordan before the Israelites, until they crossed over, their hearts melted in fear. And they no longer had courage to face the Israelites. You know that defines you? Do you know that defines you? That's why the Lord in his word says, I've not given you a spirit of fear. Fear belongs to people that don't know Jesus. I mean, fear is a part of the existence of those who don't know Jesus. Just like these kings were melted with fear and they were afraid to face the Israelites because of what they heard. You need to hear this morning what God is talking about you and me and who we are. And that's why I could say, God said, no way have I ever given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That's who we are. That's who we are. And I tell you, when fear comes, we've got to take it captive and find out and ask God, who am I? Who are you in respect to who am I? For greater is he that is in me than those voices that come outside of me. What a way to start. What a way to start. And so then it goes on. At the time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives, circumcise the Israelites again. Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gilhath-Haratha. Now, this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the wilderness. On the way, after leaving Egypt, all the people who came out had been circumcised, and all the people born in the wilderness during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the wilderness 40 years until all the men that were in the military age went and left Egypt had died since they did not obey the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land he had solemnly promised their ancestors to give us, the land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place, and these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. After the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in the camp until they were healed. Kind of a handful here. But you know what? I want everything God has for me. I want it. We want it. And it's a very interesting, he explains to Joshua what he was doing and why he was doing. And he said, you know, all the men that came out of Egypt died. They didn't receive the full potential that God had for them for a lack of faith. For doubting what God had for them. It is obedience to believe God. That's why Jesus, sometimes in different circumstances, he connected with when there was a storm on the sea, and they all thought, here's their words, we're all going to die. And he woke up and calmed the seas. What was the key? Oh, you of little faith. God will always get us to the place he wants us to be. Our part is to believe. Our part is to take him serious, take what he said serious, and believe. No matter what obstacles come. And then they remain where they were in the camp until they were healed. You know what? That's talking about you and I. You and I, when things don't seem like they're happening for us, when there seems like to be a delay, that's the time to wait and let God heal you. Let God have his perfect way in your life. And some time may pass. We'll get to that a little later. But you know what? We're going to just pull off of that story. And because there's this whole idea. You know, I studied circumcision. We all know what it is. But there's so much information about that, whether it's healthy, whether God made a mistake when he first made man, whether it wasn't sufficient, and all that. But then there's the spiritual end of it that a lot of things I read never even connected with. But the Word of God connects with it. Here, Romans 2, 28 and 29. A person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly. Circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person, praise is not from other people, but from God. So what Paul is kind of saying here, just this act of circumcision that was handed down by the Jew doesn't really make them a Jew. Something has to happen in our heart. Something has to happen inside here that will make all the difference in our life. that's life transforming. It's change. It's something not physical, it's spiritual. So when they were circumcising the men in Israel, it was an outward sign or a physical event, but God's intention was they would catch the spiritual significance. That leads me to another story. That leads me to another story in Scripture. That back in Genesis, interesting story. It says Dinah was raped by a Hittite. All right? But you know what? I just wrote those PowerPoints, but let's get a little bit of a story. Not like Tamar, where she yelled for help. It seemed like Dinah was also attracted to the Hittite, as well as the Hittite was attracted to her. But they went and had sex outside of marriage, and God called it rape. Hear that? So, who is Dinah? That was the daughter of Leah and Jacob. Jacob's sons made an agreement with all the Hittites, men should be circumcised, and everything will be all right. So, the sons want to take revenge over their sister. And they went to the outward sign. And they agreed. Key. If it's only outward and not inside, it's nothing. Meaningless. So they did it for the sake of maybe it'll be all right, Dinah and the Hittite. But it wasn't so, because later in that story, you can look in Genesis, after 3 days, Dinah's brothers, Simeon and Levi, killed every Hittite male. You see, in life, something might seem to be the right thing to do. And we get caught up in this. Sometimes we say, well, man, I really want this from you, God. I really want it. So, you know, I'll do some act of sacrifice so that you'll give that to me. It doesn't work. Your and my righteousness was purchased by the blood of Jesus. And we're not going to strong arm him by doing some act to try to get him to do something for us. The truth is, God loves you, and God loves you the way you are. God knows your weaknesses. God knows your strength. God knows everything about you. And he loves you, and not only you don't have to do something for him to get his favor, because his favor is freely given. Freely given. That's why it says in the Word of God, we can go to his throne of grace, unmerited favor, with confidence. Yes, the obedience comes out of knowing who he is and who we are in him. So 3 days later, Simeon and Levi killed all the Hittite men. I'm amazing at how often three shows up in the Bible, and it shows up here. It kind of reminds us, after Jesus was crucified, 3 days later he came out of the tomb. But in this case, the third day, it cost them their lives, because they just had a outward experience and not a heart experience. Kind of sounds like what Solomon wrote, there seems a way that is right unto man, but the end is death. We can't get caught up. We can't afford to get caught up in trying to strong arm God to help us when he freely wants to help us. Understand? He freely wants to help us. He's not. That's why we hear in the scripture, he does more than we can ask or think. Some of us may say, wow, my thought life ain't very good. So how can I expect anything from him? But God is saying, no, 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 no. You gave your life to me. You have me living inside of you. Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am occupying your life, and I want to let you know that I love you deeply, and my favor is on you. And yes, I'll teach you. I'll correct you. I'll lead you. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to cause our place to be is condemnation, which will mean we'll pull away from him. God's all about correction so we can draw closer to him. We'll get back to the story now. Little side trip. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I rolled away the reproach of the Egyptians from you. So the place been called Gilgal that day, which means rolled away. All right. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produces of the land. And it's really, really key in this whole story that when they were in the wilderness and there was difficulty for water and food and everything else, and they complained. They complained to the God that had all the provision you'd ever need. And he said, Moses, just tell them I'll feed them. I'll feed the manna. And it's very important about our walk with Jesus and our walk with God that there always be enough for the day. There always enough for the day. But when the promise was about to be fulfilled, entering, they crossed the river and they're entering in the land of Cana, they said, now I want you all to experience the gift I've given you because there's plenty of food here for you and all your family. No more manna. You're going to experience my natural gifts to supply your needs. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him, a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I now come. And Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does the Lord have for his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did it. Sounds like Moses, right? Here was Joshua taking charge after Moses, and then God brings Joshua through similar experience as Moses. You know, Joshua could have thought, man, how did I ever fill the shoes of Moses, man? That guy was the greatest leader I've ever met. Man, he went before the Pharaoh, let my people go. I saw miracles and all this stuff, the sea opening and all this. He already saw the the River Jordan opening, and he brought, the angel brought Joshua through the similar experience that Moses went, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground. And the other key point here to remember is, you know what? As for you, are you for us or for my enemies? Interesting answer, neither. That reminds me of, you know what? We may have people that don't like us. That could happen. But what did Jesus say? Do good to those who persecute you. Love your enemies. So the angel of the Lord was true in what he was saying. I'm not for you, Joshua, and all the Israelites. I'm not for the Philistines and all their evil worship. Neither. Yes, we have a call to reach people in some very dark places. And God is for us. And we need to be fearless, bold. But fearless and bold is not exactly the whole story of what you and I should be. Fearless and bold with lots of love. With lots of love. There ends chapter 5. Joshua standing before an angel. We move into chapter 6. Now the gates of Jericho were secure, securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in, no one went out, no one came out. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. Right, that starts a chapter. Maybe you've received a promise from God. And it's a yes and amen. You know, and we're going to see what Joshua had to go through, what he went through, and some of the not really good battle plans that he was asked to do, but he was hanging on the word, I see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. There should never be a doubt in Joshua's mind of the outcome. There should never be a doubt in your mind about the outcome. And we're going to get into a little bit about it because there can be delay. All right, there can be delay. So, march around the city once, all our men, do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of a ram's horn in the front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in. That was the instructions. That was the instructions. I kind of put my imagination, I heard another guy talk about imaginations, before we get further into this, imaginations of the people living in Jericho. You see, they were watching this ark, priests, and some soldiers silently walking around the city. I imagine the first day they said, what's going on here, guys? Look at these guys. They think they're going to breach our wall. But what are they doing? Just walking around the city and then they go home. What kind of army is this? Man, we're fortified. Our gates are strong. Our walls are... Actually, there were several walls. There was a wall and some space and then a wall. So you breach the first wall, you have to breach the second wall. And they're saying, the news is coming out. What are they... We heard these guys are so tough. Man, we heard all the story about these Israelites. And all they're doing is silently walking around our town. By the way, just for reference... Jericho's population was only about 1,200. So sometimes in my mind, I get much bigger. I don't know about you. I think, ooh, this is a huge place. It was about 1,200 people in Jericho. And so the second day goes by. That's their orders. Silently walk third day. I can't believe these people. Man, they think they're going to defeat us, and all they do is march around my town. Fourth day, fifth day. By the fifth day, the people in Jericho were laughing, probably. They said, this is the most ridiculous. Wait a minute. You know, God may call you and I to do things that seem ridiculous. Do it. Even though it doesn't make sense. Everything that God calls us to do always doesn't make sense. Just do it. Just do it. So, lost my place here. Okay, so they went around, and then let's get back to it. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have the seven priests carry trumpets in front of it, and he ordered the army advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. And then Joshua had spoken to the people, seven priests carrying the seven trumpets for the Lord, and he went forth blowing the trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord covenant followed them. And the armed guards marched ahead of the other priests and blew their trumpets, and the rear guard followed them all the time the trumpets were sounding. This was the seven trips around. Now they're saying, wow, something's changed here. They're blowing their trumpets. Side note, blowing trumpets, to me, remember in the book of Revelation, the seven trumpets, and then things were happening. The trumpets were just evidence of the presence of God and who he is and that he's there. So I'm not sure the people in Jericho realized it, but the seventh day, the seventh time, they marched around the city blowing their trumpets. And then on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak, marched around the city seven times in that manner, except on that day they circled the city seven times, and the seventh time around when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given us a city. If there's a time to be patient and waiting on the Lord. And there's a time not to neglect something. I'm okay with silent prayers, but somewhere along the line they gotta become vocal. And the trumpets were sounding, they were declaring everything that Israelites were. And they were following the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God. You and I can pull out the promises of God and say, I believe the promises of God. But what's really, really important is that what comes out of our mouths agrees with what we believe. Here, he said to them, shout, what? For the Lord has given us the city. It's very important for you and I, when we're approaching this God that loves us so much, that wants to favor our lives, that we'll agree with what he says over us. They could have shouted anything. Break city, do this, da, da. But earlier he said, Joshua, I've given you the city. Now the shout is, Lord, before I am going to give you the city. Now the shout is, the Lord has given us the city. The word here, Jesus said it in Mark. He said it nicely. He says, when you pray, believe. Good, believe. And what you have is what you say. We cannot afford to bellyache, cry, our words saying, my expectation is just Lord, because I'm not sure you're really going to do this for me. If he promised it, he'll do it. End of story. So the shout was, yes, you've given us. And the city and all who is, and the city and all that is in it will be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who were with her in the house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking away taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make a camp of Israel liable for the destruction and being trouble of it. All the silver and the gold, the articles of bronze, the iron, are sacred to the Lord and must go into the treasury. God made something very simple for us, and it's like an act of faith. He called it tithing. I tell you, I don't do it as a law. I don't tithe as a law. I do it fully happy to do it, because all what God has done for me. I don't think it is mandatory, or I must do this, or God's gonna be mad at me or angry with me. It's freely, but he was telling me, I'm gonna give you Jericho. You're gonna go in there. In this case, he said, everything belongs to the Lord, because the battle is the Lord's. I'm giving you this city. You don't get any of it. I want all of it. Aren't you glad that God is not demanding of us on our personal lives to just give, say, yikes, how would I live? I'd give everything. He said, no, he's just saying, learn a discipline of freely giving. And I love that's a new covenant thing. It's freely giving. It's giving with a joyful heart. It's giving not under pressure. It's just giving out of his great love for you and me, that it becomes easy to give. That's a little sideline there, but so when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, and the walls collapsed, so everyone charged straight in and took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed all the swords, every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. And reading some of the articles on the internet and stuff like this, the negative side of that, how can this loving God kill every soul in that city? Give that order. Go in there, nothing survives. Kill them all. Good question. The better question is for me, when I wept before God and gave my life to Him, that way worse than dying by the sword in Jericho would be God Himself suffering, beaten, lied, the Son of God pulled His beard out. That had been painful, drove thorns into His brain, whipped His back so even the bones in His back were exposed. And He said not a word. And they laid that damaged body and threw it on a cross and pound nails into His hands and His feet. And then they put that cross into the ground and they laughed at Him. They laughed. The God-man gave His life for all those that would receive Him. You know what? What you're seeing at Jericho is frightening. It's frightening to reject God's love. It's not so much what a terrible thing that Joshua was commanded to do. What's a terrible thing is for God to do what He did for us and reject it and say no to it. I know for me, when I was a young boy, confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, my first hearing, a clear hearing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as a 12-year-old or so, I said, no. And it didn't go well for me for the next, till I was like 28 years old. And we mentioned when Hank called and his son was in a tough shape in a hospital, possibly dying, and that father was crying. He said, I don't want my son to go to hell. God is love. That love brought Jesus Christ to the earth. That love had Him silent while people beat Him up, hung Him on a cross, laughed at Him, not knowing what was really happening. What was really happening, the God-man was the source of our forgiveness, cleansing, washing, making us right with the Father. And when He said it was finished, what was finished? The full requirement of God on you and my behalf. He took my sin on Himself and gifted me with righteousness, that I could be called one of the sons of God, daughters of God. So it wasn't, as some of the writers say, it's not from a cruel, evil, heartless God that the city and all its inhabitants were destroyed. I don't want to take the time, but they had extremely godless practices going on in that city. But there was one woman, probably of many in that city, that gave herself to many men, and she was called Rahab. She caught the picture. She caught it. And she hid the spies. And she said, just remember me, my mother, my dad, my family, and everything else. And they said, yes, yes, it'll be all right for you. Just put the scarlet cloth out there and we'll know. And the whole city will be destroyed, but you and your family will be saved. Here's a narrative. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all that belongs to her in accordance with your oath to her. So the young men who had done the spying went in, brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, brothers, and sons, and all who belonged to her, and they brought them out, her and her entire family, and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. They received them. And like I said, last time we talked about Rahab was a couple of Sundays ago when I talked about it. It's amazing how when the Old Testament refers to her, the prostitute Rahab. In the New Testament, her name is changed in the genealogies, Rahab. Guess what? In the genealogies of David and eventually Jesus, she's there. She's there. No longer called a prostitute Rahab. She's called, her identity changed. She's called who she is, Rahab. A woman loved by God himself. And was in the genealogies of our Lord and Savior. That's quite, God wants to change who you and I are. When he died, he gave us righteousness, a cloth of righteousness. That's why we can go to our Abba Father with confidence, even though we sometimes mess up. But his loving correction, it says that in Hebrews, he says he trains us up like a child. He lovingly corrects us to that our lifestyle will fit more in line who the God we love is. That's why when we really engage in that, we really engage in that process, what happens? Our life become to start to display the fruits of the Spirit. Amen? Then they burned the whole city, everything in it. But they put the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and the iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all that belonged to her because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies into Jericho, and she lived amongst the Israelites to this day. In fact, had a child that was in the lineage of David and eventually Jesus. Then Joshua said an interesting thing. He said, this time Joshua announced with an oath, I'm glad he did it, but you know what? We don't have to make an oath to put some kind of strength behind our promises. Jesus said, just say yes or no. I'm happy with that. But he, with an oath, cursed before the Lord is anyone who undertakes to rebuild the city Jericho. He said, this city should never be rebuilt again. And I think that's sort of a reference to the evil practices that were within the city, and the city was destroyed, and it was that first obstacle as the Israelites were going to enter in the land called full of milk and honey, full of provision. You won't need manna anymore because you'll have all you'll ever need when you enter the land. but Jericho was the first obstacle. Then he said an interesting, and the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundation, and the cost of his youngest will set up the gates. A declaration. Now I want to tell you guys, you know what? Maybe you've been waiting. Maybe you've been waiting. You have these things in your heart you've been waiting for. You brought some needs to your life. Maybe you've been walking around the city for 6 days, quiet, and nothing's happening. And then there comes a seventh day when it's time to shout and rejoice and take what God has given you. Maybe you're tired and you're waiting. Maybe you're saying, I don't know if I can wait any longer. God, why don't you answer? What's keeping you? You know what I'm going through. You know the struggles I'm going through. You know everything. You know my need for this, and you know my what I want for this, and you know. When are you going to come through for me? When are you going to come through for me? And in your still small self, you're saying, I am believing in your promises. As strong or weak it may be, I am. I'm believing what you say is true. Interesting thing, guys. Joshua, by oath, said that city should never be built again. Now, I want to remind you, this wasn't God saying this to him. This is something that he said. It's very, very important to guard what comes out of our mouth. Guard it. With every effort, guard what comes out of your mouth. And when you hear your mouth speaking something that is not, does have nothing to do with the desires of your heart, confess, ask God to forgive you, and move on and never say it again. He said this. Now the thing comes, how willing are you and I to wait? Because there's something that happens while we're waiting. Those who wait upon the Lord, it's in the waiting, I will renew their strength. Are you willing to wait? Am I willing to wait? Or do I want the instant cure? God, I brought it to you. You better perform. I need this right now. But you know what? We miss the gift that comes along with waiting. We miss the character building and the confidence and the faith building that happens in the waiting. He said this. Why do I make a big deal? I make a big deal out of this for a reason. He said something. God may promise you something that you may never see in your lifetime. You know that? God may honor it generations later. What an awesome thing it is to stand in faith in a God that keeps his promises every time. And he listens to us and he hears us. And especially when it's spoken out in absolute confidence and faith. Here's the deal. Joshua said it. Don't build a city. I mean, don't anybody do the city, because there are going to be two that are going to die if you do. 530 years later. Think of Joshua's dead and gone already. 530 years later. Found in 1 Kings 16:34. In Ahab's time, Yael of Bethel rebuilt Jericho. All right, sounds good. He laid its foundation at the cost of his firstborn son. He set up the gates at the cost of his youngest son, in accordance to the word that the Lord spoke by Joshua. So be careful, and have faith in what we bring before God. And I want you to enjoy the waiting time, and knowing that his promises are yes and amen, every one of them. And when we take them to heart and bring them before his throne of grace, his throne of unmerited favor, and you place it there. That, you know, and I say, you know, I can see this church building behind there, and we got a lot of land here. I can see it, and I am perfectly happy whether it's when I'm here or after I'm gone. I just know it's going to happen. And it's going to happen because God's going to build it. And if the Lord should tarry, it's going to be a monument in this city of faith and grace and hope in Jesus Christ. But so it's not, so what this is telling you and I, it's not so important that we see it right away, but enjoy the fruit of waiting on the Lord, because in that time, he'll renew your strength. He'll become greater for you. And in that waiting time, remember, he cares for you. He casts all your cares on him because he cares for you. And he cares for you. So you had this big plan for what you need in the future or need pretty soon, and you're waiting. But in that waiting time, everything you need will be provided. Wow. He declared something, and it wasn't till 550 years later that it happened. Happened for his children. Now, in closing, the last verse in this whole episode, because this is not just a kid's Sunday school story, and I hope you're catching that, catching the reality of what went on here and God's connection with you and I, and what he's planned and what he'll do, and his promises are yes and amen. When he says he's going to do something, he means he's going to do it. Verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua. Key. The Lord was with Joshua. Key, the Lord is with you and me. And his fame spread throughout the land. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you at the proper time. I love that proper time, because that may be a waiting time. Key, I could put my name, you could put your name here. So the Lord was with Byron, and his fame spread throughout the land.
Yeah. What's up? Yeah.
And what's interesting, we can laugh at that, but in my 81 years, during these 81 years, I ran into people in the marketplace, and people I don't even know, and we kind of meet and have a conversation, and it goes something like this. Oh, you're John, I'm Byron Barclays. You're Byron Barclays. I heard about you. I heard about your Wednesday nights. I heard about when you went to a big home in Lake Forest and shared with very influential men in that house. I heard. This Jesus that you and I follow, don't go so all about you. It's all about him. So the Lord was with Joshua. So the Lord's with Maya. So the Lord's with Catherine and Fine and all of us and Chuck. And so the Lord is with you. And all of a sudden, it doesn't become all about you. It becomes about people learning about the Jesus that's in you. The Lord is with you. Yes, it's way more important for people that we don't. I'm very careful in my own life, and all of us ought to be very careful in our lives not to have it all about us. My heart is people meeting with me and knowing me will know the Jesus that lives in me. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you all and have a blessed week. And I hope you are blessed by this message. It's much more than a Sunday school lesson to a bunch of children. It's something that is so deep and so mighty that God is with us through every difficult time. And God is with us while we're waiting on him in Jesus' name. God bless you, worship team. Come on up.